You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
Unphotographable, yet you're my favorite work of art. Oh, is your figure less than Greek? Is your mouth a little?
Man, I find it very hard to turn that music off or down. What a sweet sound. Melinda Doolittle, American Idol finalist. And as a daughter of a single mom, Melinda is pretty quick to give credit to her mom for raising her not to be a quitter. This lady was tone deaf as a child, and her choir teacher would sort of plead with her not to sing. Boy, I've been there. But rather silently just sit there and move her mouth. However, her love of singing drove her to enter a talent show in the seventh grade, and after much practice and prayer, she stunned the audience with her miraculously spot-on vocals and beautiful voice. She began to realize that success in life was something bigger than her, or as she puts it in this latest book, It's Beyond Me. Wow, what a story. All this led to her performing at the White House, traveling with Laura Bush, singing backup for Michael McDonald, CeCe Winans, and becoming the clear favorite of American Idol's most difficult judge, Simon Cowell. Just a few highlights in her new book, Beyond Me. MelindaDoolittle.com is the website. Have a wee listen. Joining us at this particular moment in time is Miss Retro Soul herself, Melinda Doolittle. Melinda, thanks for your time. You have done a million interviews, so we appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, no, thank you. Thanks for taking the time to talk.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
Stop it. Stop it. Who were the people jumping around you when you came out of your audition with the gold ticket to Hollywood?
Well, one was, of course, my wonderful mommy.
Mm-hmm.
My mommy was there. My vocal coach and best friend, Janet Kenyon, was with me. One of my friends that I call Squishy, his name is Doug Cordes, and he's in the book because he is the one that talked me into going to the audition in the first place. And then another friend I have that I affectionately call Doodoo, but his name is Dwayne Parker.
Oh, okay, hold on a second. You've got a friend, two friends named Squishy and Doodoo.
Yes.
You realize how creepy that is, right?
I'm now that I put it together, yes.
It's like a bad Pampers commercial or something. I don't know. It's a little weird.
Yes. Yes, Squishy and Doodoo were with me, and it was a ton of fun.
Okay, but seriously, you had the stuff. I mean, this could not have been a surprise that you were gonna get the gold ticket.
Oh, are you kidding me? Of course it could have been. I had been singing background for years leading up to auditioning for American Idol, and I was so used to making whatever sound a producer wanted or an artist wanted for their project or for their live show that I was still learning what my voice really was, you know, like how Melinda would actually sing a song. So I was in the middle of a learning process, so I was so excited that the judges liked my sound that I mean, it was a complete shock to me, and I was so happy.
You know, I forgot to mention one thing right off the top, and we need to clear this up, as I said, right off the top here, Melinda. You, my dear, will go down in flames in a game of air hockey with me. I just need to just clear that up.
Oh.
Okay?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, bring it on.
Yeah, bye-bye. Bye-bye now.
No, you're going down. No, I am the queen.
Okay, we're talking. You're talking to a Canadian. Hockey. Any kind of hockey. You know, you're done.
I hear what you're saying.
Uh-huh.
I really do, and I understand, and I will give you that. It may be a challenge, but I will beat you.
Okay. I just thought I'd get that out of the way. All right. Are you still with Hi-Fi? That seems like a pretty decent label.
I am still with Hi-Fi, and they are much better than Pretty Decent. They're absolutely phenomenal. I love the people there, and it's just been a really great experience for me.
Can you clear something up for me? I need to know what, and maybe you can't, you're sworn to secrecy, or you've got, you know, the Sony mafia after your tail if you kind of tell the truth in this, but is it true that the further you go in American Idol, the more Sony owns a piece of your soul?
That is actually not true. The actual truth is that once you make it into the top 24, there is a blanket contract that we all do sign, and then as soon as the finale is over, Sony has the right of first refusal. So they have about 90 days to figure out if they're going to sign us, if the management team is going to sign us, all of that. And then after that 90 days, if they have chosen not to, then you are free and clear.
Right. I was just wondering, I seem to remember over the years the odd, well, maybe it wasn't too many. I just remember one particular finalist looking at the camera and actually saying, don't vote for me. Happened to be another Jesus guy, but I remember him saying, don't vote. So.
Yes, but I don't think it had anything to do with the contract as much as it had to do with he was tired.
Yeah. Kind of like a dreadlock girl now.
Yes.
I don't know her name.
I mean, Crystal.
Yeah, that's it.
Yes, it is. It is a very, very stressful and tiring process to be on the show, and it's one of the things that I write about in the book, because people think that, you know, they see you on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and they think that's kind of the extent of what you do. But we work 7 days a week, most of the time 16-hour days. So you're just completely exhausted, and every week you make it through, you're getting ready to do it again, and it's the hugest blessing in the world, but at the same time, it is hard. So sometimes contestants have gotten to the part where they're like, just, okay, send me home. Don't vote.
Right.
I just want to sleep in my bed for a minute.
The other thing I wanted to clear up with you, and I don't know, I don't think you seem to have a pretty good run with Simon, but I've heard a few times from people on the inside, I can't tell you who they are, that Simon tends to have it in for the Jesus singers. Is that true, or is that just, you know, Christian paranoia?
Well, I don't think he has it in for the Jesus singers as much as he... we baffle him. I think that occasionally, like for me, he was like, there's no way that you're actually this nice of a person. It's not possible. It's not normal.
Right.
So there's got to be something wrong, you know? So for him, it was more confusing to him. But when he finds out that we are real and this is our personality, this is who we are, then he completely respects that. So I did not have any issues with that at all.
No, well, of course not. I mean, you were voted most spirited, most talented in school. No wonder Simon liked you.
I was voted most spirited just because I was the mascot.
Yeah, yeah. Can we go there, please? Seriously, take us back to Union High School. The mascot? Really?
Union High School, Tulsa, Oklahoma. My senior year, we were the Redskins, and I was in a squad dress, and I would ride a horse every time we get a touchdown.
Did you ever come off the horse? Because that's funny stuff.
I did not. I side saddled, and I'm a pretty good rider. So.
Well, you rode side saddle?
Oh yeah, because I was in my squad dress.
Oh yeah. Oh sorry, I was a guy. I forgot about that part. Okay.
But. I was also the mascot at Belmont University when I transferred there, so I was a big bear called a Bruin.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, the hockey guys, we know Boston Bruins. We know it's a bear.
I wasn't positive. But.
Yeah. Let's see. Involved in lots of musicals and plays, was Miss Jones the one to kind of get you going and all that kind of stuff? What is it, McAuliffe Elementary School?
That's awesome. I did play her in The Music Man, and it was so much fun. I've played the Miss Jones character a couple of times, and it's just a blast to play. But I loved musicals. Musicals let me know that I like to tell a story with a song and that I do have a story to tell. And even beyond being able to tell a story with a song, to be able to write my story down, put it in book form, has just been the most awesome thing in the world.
Okay, the thing that I think most people kind of tilt their head to one side when they hear your story is, okay, every person I know who's tone deaf has always been tone deaf and will always be tone deaf. So we want to know, inquiring minds want to know, if you and Benny Hinn are tight. Because how did this go? Seriously.
Well, you know what? Me and Jesus are tight.
Okay.
All right. I really feel like when I went to my mom and said, Mom, I want to sing. I mean, I had auditioned for choirs prior to that, and they, you know, they told me I had a lot of charisma, and they wanted me to stand in the middle and smile really big, move my mouth, and not let any sound come out. Mm. And so when I said, I really want to sing, my mom was like, well, honey, you're going to have to pray hard. Because she knew that I sounded a hot mess. So I prayed and I practiced. And in my book, I just write about my motto in life, which is dream big, pray hard, and be prepared. So I had a big dream that the impossible would happen. I was praying with all of my might. And to prepare myself, I was practicing with this sound check to Oh, the Blood of Jesus. And my youth group was having a talent show. I joined it. And that night I got on the stage and closed my eyes, sang the song, and when I opened my eyes, people were on their feet. My mom was in the back crying, and a sound had come out of me that had never come out before. And I've been singing ever since. Hmm. So I remember telling that story to Michael W. Smith, and he was like, there's no way. And he met my mother, and he was like, okay, seriously, was she bad growing up? And my mom was like, oh, it was awful.
Yeah, worse than a boll weevil.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, speaking of Smitty, is he still really awkward on stage, or is he kind of, you know, fine-tuned that a little better?
Was he ever awkward?
Oh, my goodness. The guy, he's not Mr. Entertainer. Come on. He's not.
Seriously?
He's worked on that over the years, as well as learning to shave right down to his skin, because he used to have that fake beard for a long, long time. And
it's called stubble.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Stubble is good.
Okay.
I think Smitty's very comfortable on stage.
Yeah, he is now. But anyway.
Okay, so maybe I'm seeing this side of him, but I've been on two Christmas tours with him, and oh, man, is he fabulous.
And so do you have any problems at all now musically? Like, can you start a song in the right key without any instrumental help whatsoever?
No, I do not have perfect pitch. Okay. That I don't have.
Okay.
But I can, as long as I know about what key it's in, I can kind of get there. But I've been studying now for years, since the seventh grade, so I've really put in some time studying it.
Good for you. So could you give us maybe some 12-bar blues right now? Ladies and gentlemen, Melinda Doolittle on the Drew Marshall Show, a little 12-bar blues.
12-bar blues?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I can wash out 44 pairs of socks and have them hanging on the line. I can start you on 2 dozen shirts before you can count from 1 to 9. I can scoop up a great big dipper full of lye from the drippings can. Throw it in the skillet, go out and do my shopping and be back before it melts in the pan. Cause I'm a woman. W-O-M-A-N.
Very well done. I thought you might have broke out into some Robert Johnson, but yeah.
I was going to.
Yeah.
But I couldn't decide which one.
It's tough. Worked as a professional backup singer. Now, here's the list that's on Wikipedia, so we don't know whether it's true or not. I just want you to say yes or no at the end of it. Michael McDonald.
Yes.
Kirk Franklin.
No.
Aaron Neville.
Yes.
B.B. and C.C. Winans.
Yes.
Alabama.
Yes.
And my favorite, Johnny Lang.
Yes! Is that really your favorite?
Oh, man. Here's my Johnny Lang story. Friends with a gal named Candace Cameron. She played DJ at Full House. She sent me Johnny Lang's CD and said, I think you'll really like this. And, nah, people send me CDs all the time, and it ends up being some happy, clappy hill song, Jesus Loves Me stuff, and I don't know. I'm just not into that. And next thing you know, I'm in love with a guy named Johnny Lang.
I mean, is he not amazing?
Freak show.
He is seriously my favorite artist.
Yeah.
Did you know that I, like, he's my friend now?
Oh, come on. Come on. So this is like 7 degrees of separation. Eventually, one of us is going to fall in love with Kevin Bacon. This is great.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
I love Johnny. I love his music. I was so honored to be able to sing on his project. And now I've even been in writing sessions with him now. I mean, he is one of my favorite people ever.
There's one song that he wrote. Actually, we should probably stop talking about him and talk about you. But there's one song that he wrote that which makes me bawl. If I'm up at the cottage by myself having a God moment and that tune's on, I'm weeping like a little girl.
Which one?
I'm not telling you. So, you were nervous about being out in front of people, and yet you'd sung. See, that's a disconnect for me. I get it a little bit, you know, being a BG. I get it. But, man, I just, it's a disconnect that you were that nervous about being out in front as opposed to singing backup for all these folks.
Well, I mean, singing backup, I mean, you're wearing your black clothes, you're blending into the background, I totally had the back of any artist that I was singing for, but there was no pressure.
Right.
There was no pressure on me. Some of the artists I sang for, we had tracks going with us, so there was really not the pressure of carrying that show. So
it's kind of like Milli Vanilli.
Kind of, sometimes it was. So I really, there was a different responsibility on me.
Right.
As a lead singer than there was as a background singer. Still hard to do both, so I will say that, but there was just a different responsibility.
On the phone with Melinda Doolittle, American Idol finalist. Have you ever had the chance to meet the woman who, when you were a wee kid, made everyone in the shoe store stop when they heard her singing The Greatest Love?
I have never met Whitney Houston. It is a dream of mine to meet her.
That's on your bucket list?
It is on my bucket list. I would love to. Is that in the book?
No.
Oh.
No. That come out of me, I think.
Oh, thank you.
that's my that's my sick and twisted way of complimenting you.
Well, thank you so much.
You were involved in the very first Idol Gives Back.
I was.
And were you absolutely, as the Aussies say, were you absolutely gobsmacked when you went into the same room as Bono?
Oh, I really, really was. I've never been more inspired by a single person. Just, I walked in and I saw him standing there and completely freaked out, and then he dispelled that so quickly by just telling his heart and telling us, you know, you're on a show that's this huge. You've been given a platform. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to make a difference? And it was so important to me to be a part of giving back and get on board with what was going on, what American Idol was doing, what we could do when we left Idol. All of that was very important to me. So I got involved with a group called Malaria No More because there were over a million children every year under the age of 5 dying of malaria, and it's preventable. It's just a $10 bed net. So I really, really got on board and have remained on board to this day. Even on my website, if people buy a CD or if they buy a book from the website, a portion of the proceeds goes to Malaria No More. It's just that important to me still.
You can't be this perfect. Seriously.
I am not perfect at all.
Let's give credit where credit is due, okay? Let's talk about Miss Chew the Hay and Spit Out the Sticks.
I have the best mama, so it made it really easy to write this book because she had so many lessons for me that have stayed with me all my life. Chewing the Hay and Spitting Out the Sticks was a great way to learn how to deal with criticism and judgment, and I use that every day on American Idol because, you know, you are judged and not only are you judged by the ones sitting in that room with you, but America begins to judge you online and on television and on the radio, and you start hearing things about yourself. And so my mom was like, when you do have criticism coming against you, listen to it, be honest with yourself, say, is there any truth to this? Is there something that I can chew up and actually use to make myself better and to get better at what I'm doing and to perfect my craft. And then the rest of it that's meant to hurt you or tear you down, just spit it on out. So that's chewing the hay and spitting out the stick.
How long was she doing the single mom thing for?
My mom was a single mom since before I turned one. My parents divorced.
Okay. All right. I mean, it's a tad melodramatic for me to say they're the people on this planet that I think I respect the most. But I think I do respect single moms more than, because I got a wife, and we try to raise two kids, and we both get to the point where we're exhausted, and we don't want a parent anymore. So when it comes to one, you know, we can tag team. Sometimes one's up, one's down. Okay, I get that. But man, God did not design parenting to be a one-person task, I don't think.
I don't think so either, but I will tell you what, my mama did such an awesome job. I am indebted to her for the sacrifices that she made and the kind of person that she is. And it was so important to her to raise me right and to make sure that I had a good attitude about life, that I treated people well, all of that. And I am so glad that she took the time to do that and gave of herself, even when she was, I'm sure, too tired to give. She was also a teacher, so, I mean, she had kids all day long, and then me. But it didn't even faze her. She was happy to do it and still is. I still go to my mama for stuff. So she is fabulous.
Nice. Where does the God stuff fit in on all this? Were you born in a church-going family? And what I'm trying to say is, are you a follower of Christ or are you a Christian? I mean, there is a difference these days.
There is totally a difference. I grew up in the church. I didn't know any different. But when I first accepted the Lord, I remember I was 5 years old, and every time they had an altar call, I would keep going up because I'm a very literal person. So when you say Jesus lives in your heart, then I really felt like he had a little chair,
mm-hmm.
and he was sitting in my heart. And any time I would do something that wasn't right, then it would push him out. And he wouldn't be able to be in there anymore. So I need to make sure I went and let him come back in again. And when I learned about his grace and his mercy and his love for us and the fact that he will never leave or forsake us, it was a huge lesson for me, and I've never looked back.
Some people, I'm just wondering whether I should name them or not. Okay, I will. Some people out there who are in Hollywood or, you know, involved in the stardom kind of stuff, seem to be persecuted and then put up websites like asking for money to help them because they're persecuted in Hollywood, a la Stephen Baldwin. But aside from that, what's been your experience being the little Jesus girl in the scene that you're in? Has it been great? Has it been persecutorial? There's a good word for you. What's the go?
It has actually been awesome. I do have a lot of people that come up and ask me questions and ask, you know, how can I be smiling in the middle of the situation that I'm in, or how am I dealing with people the way I do? And I can point them to the source of that. I can point them to Jesus. I've had people come up and just ask me, will you pray for me? So it has been probably the best experience for me as a Christian, and being in the mainstream world for me, because, you know, my CD is mainstream. My band, we play everywhere, but I still get to share my heart. And it makes people come up and ask questions, and I love that.
Okay, this is the question that I've been wanting to ask you, and we're just about at the end of our time, so thank you for all this this time you've given us. The biggest thing I want to know, Melinda Doolittle, is would you rather be rescued by Superman or Jack Bauer?
Jack Bauer.
Thank you very much. Any chance of you ever becoming a Secret Service agent? Well, is that going to happen? I'd like to know.
Well, I would love to be a Secret Service agent. I just don't know how incognito I would be.
Yeah, that would be a clash of terms there, I guess. And apparently you're a lover of bugs, a sort of a musical entomologist, if you will, because you love Miley Cyrus's Fly on the Wall and the Jonas Brothers' Love Bug.
How do you know that? That's not in the book.
I have people who find, you know.
That's awesome.
Who shadow
I really
you.
Do.
Yeah.
Those songs, they're like my favorite. I wish you could see me if I'm driving down the street and Fly on the Wall comes on.
No, thanks. No, don't want to. Yeah, because here's what I think would happen. It would be very similar to your experience dancing while on your elliptical trainer, I think.
Wow. So I'm not the most graceful person.
No. Have you fixed that hole in the wall yet, by the way?
My wall is fine now.
Okay. Just wanted to make
it
sure.
It's totally fine. I just haven't had the best of luck dancing. I've even given myself a minor whiplash trying to dance. So I won't be trying.
I just got a bad visual there. That is just... You know, you're probably the only black girl who does the white man's overbite, right?
I kind of do. But I think it's kind of cute.
Oh, man. That's a good word for you. I like you. You are cute. You're very cute.
Oh, thank you.
All right, folks, listen, you got to get this book. There's a lot of great stories. Her vibe, her thing, her effervescence comes through in all of the pages. And I guess where? Can they get the book anywhere? Is that a reality beyond me?
They can totally get the book anywhere they'd like to. But if they purchase it off of MelindaDoolittle.com, they're also giving back, and part of the proceeds goes to Malaria No More.
Malaria No More, there's somebody else who's big with that. Is one associated with doing the bed net stuff? Because
yes, they definitely...
I'm sorry, I probably shouldn't talk about another charity while you're trying to talk about your charity, but I just love the concept of the bed net. I think, you know, it's just so ridiculously simple because the mosquitoes killing people is so crazy when one bed net is $10 and how many, I mean, like 4 or 5 people sleep underneath the thing sometimes, right?
Right. I mean, and they're insecticide treated. They have instructors that go teach people how to use them. I mean, bed nets are really, really saving lives. And that's the coolest thing. It's something as simple as a bed net.
Okay. MelindaDoolittle.com is the website. And on there, you'll find out about Malaria No More, her book Beyond Me. You'll find out about her posse, Melinda's Backups. Boy,
they're awesome.
What a great group of, you know, they don't even deserve the title fans because fans implies something a little bit more psychotic and selfish. These people are probably just as psychotic, but they're not selfish.
They're supporters.
Yeah.
They really are. They have my back. They're so, so awesome. Actually, one lives in Canada.
You found me out. Okay. Sorry.
No.
Didn't think you'd find out about that, but...
Is your name Wheezy? Because that's her name.
Wheezy from the Jeffersons. I remember Wheezy. Oh, man. Melinda, thank you. It was just an absolute blast to chat with you.
Thank you. I love how much fun you all have.
Well, we try. It's
so
me.
Thank you for that.
We'll talk again.
All right.
Bye-bye. We're going to go out with her American Idol audition. I love these clips on YouTube.
I'm waiting to go in and audition today. I have a level of excitement, and I'm just trying to sit on my hands to stop the rest of the shaking that's going along with that. For me, it's fun, and I've always kind of loved being in the background. It's my comfort zone, so that's been my fun little place, and I can be there, and they can do their thing.
So what's changed?
I know that for me, I need to get over the fear of standing in front of people myself.
Okay, what you singing?
For Once in My Life. Stevie Wonder?
I love that song.
Okay.
You do?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
I love Stevie, too.
For once in my life, I won't let sorrow hurt me. Not like it's hurt me before.
Man.
For once I have someone I know won't desert me. I'm not alone anymore.
Even Maria's digging on this.
For once I can say, this is mine, you can't take it. As long as I know I have love, I can make it. For once in my life, I got someone who needs me.